Jenny Benziger is assistant professor of clinical medicine and pediatrics for IU School of Medicine, Eskenazi Health, and she's also the assistant director of education at the IU Center for Global Health. Jenny was one of a small number of residents selected to join the inaugural group of residents in the Global Health Residency track in 2011, and she traveled to Kenya in 2013. She'll be telling a story titled Laundry.
Hello. So a few months after I started my job as Assistant Director of Education, Bob Einhertz walked into my office and started chatting. And abruptly he stopped and said, "Why do you have a picture of laundry in your office?" And so I think I stuttered out something at the moment, but here's the full answer, Bob. So it really starts with the laundry room in my house growing up, which was a sunny room just off the kitchen painted yellow. I was one of four rambunctious kids who loved being outside, and you can imagine that there was a lot of laundry at our house. Laundry was everyone's job, and there was rarely a day when you couldn't hear the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh of the washer as it turned out another load. We had a lot of family lore surrounding laundry, too, and we would spend time talking about how my brother would never fall asleep when he was a baby unless he was in his car seat on the dryer, which made everybody nervous, or the black elf that just stole one sock from every pair and hid it until we were all driven to distraction. And my grandmother, a true Midwestern blend of pride and practicality, was always telling us to make sure we had clean underwear without holes in it, just in case we were in an accident on the highway. So for years, I never even questioned that people might have other worries if they were in a roadside trauma. In fact, just last week, or a couple months ago, I was in a fender bender, and I sat there thinking on the highway, well, at least I have clean underwear on. When my husband and I arrived in Kenya in 2013, the walk to work quickly became a favorite part of my day. The sidewalk was only partially completed, and the rich red dust crunched underneath my shoes as we walked. It was a calm start to the morning, unlike the busyness of rushing to work here. We would trade smiles and salutations with Michael, the gatekeeper, as we walked out. We'd watch the cows sashay along the path just past the pink temple. And we'd nod to the man selling suckers on the right side of the road that tasted like watered-down Kool-Aid. I'm sure there's better routes into the hospital, but the one we knew of was right in the back through the morgue. The long cinder block building has high windows and lovely flowers and a bright blue rain barrel outside. In the afternoons, families would gather outside the morgue as the morgue workers loaded up a casket onto the back of a pickup truck. And however many family was there at the time, 5, 10, 20 people would all get in the back of the pickup truck together, causing the frame of the truck to creak and groan. In the morning, though, the area was usually quiet. After walking past the morgue, you walk up a long ramp to the hospital. And that ramp just never failed to make me pause, mostly because of how easy it was to go the other direction, for our patients to go down from the hospital into the morgue. In so many ways, the rest of the day we would spend fighting that path of least resistance, this path down to death, the path down to another hope loss, to another family grieving. So every medicine we tried to find, every lab we wrote, every T-sheet we tried to hunt down, was all an effort to push back the seemingly relentless tide that called the patient to the end. But as you walk up that ramp to the hospital, if you stop about halfway up and you look out one side through the fence, you see laundry swinging in the breeze. It's just an ordinary thing, really. Women would gather and chat as they hung up a garment or two, and siblings of our pediatric patients would be running around squealing, just like my kids do it here at home. There were bright, blocky patterned skirts and the cool, thin cloths that the mothers would use to cool their children's fevered foreheads. The sunlight filtered through the trees overhead, and the cool morning air filled our lungs. We'd savor that moment, aware that when we got up the ramp into the hospital, we'd almost be instantly surrounded with things to do, patients to check on, and colleagues to learn with. Once in the hospital, I'd greet the nurses. "Sister Martha, how are you? How's your family? How is everything going?" And then I would turn to the question that I had to ask. "Sister, how many died overnight?" More than anything, that moment before I walked into the hospital, enjoying the laundry swinging in the breeze, helped me remember the humanity of the patients that would fill my heart and mind for the rest of the day. Those patients, though I didn't speak their language and often couldn't understand so much about why things were the way they were in Kenya, they had laundry, just like me, siblings, just like me, mothers that probably made them help with chores, just like mine did. Any temptation there was to get calloused would be diffused as I walked outside and reminded myself how alike we really were. So, back to my office. Empath has done some really amazing things, and one that should never go ignored is that it has chosen to bring students along every single step of the way. More than 1,016 U.S. students in training and residents have been to Kenya since it's the program inception, and almost 300 Kenyan people have been here as a part of our exchange program. U.S. students like Joe, who had been on many medical trips in college for 1 week here or there, but came back from Kenya telling me that he had seen a better way, a way of lasting, true collaboration with the community that really made impactful change. And Kenyan registrars like Pauline, who laughed with amazement as she saw me wrap up my newborn just like she had seen Kenyan mothers do when she was a girl. It's these students that we bring alongside us as we care for patients and we do research. And it's for these students that I spend my days trying to come up with ways to teach them about their fellow humans across the globe who have hopes and dreams and families and laundry.